Are you looking for a Columbus car dealership built on tradition and trust? Buyers Auto, family-owned since 1897, offers top new and pre-owned vehicles. Visit us or shop online at buyersauto.com. Buyers Auto, driving the next generation of buyers.
Moncrief on News Talk.
It is time for four questions, where we look back over the weekend and forward to the week ahead. The four questions are, as ever, what delighted you over the weekend? What annoyed you over the weekend? What did you learn? And what are you looking forward to? The people here to answer those questions are Donal Donoghue and Dyrin O'Connor, who got her hair done. Myself and Donal were delighted about it and spotted it straight away. Good afternoon to you both.
Afternoon, Sean.
Yeah, all right, okay, no answer there. You're just being silent.
I'm thrilled about it, yeah. Thank you for bringing it up. I was coming into in cartwheels with my hair.
Yeah, we got highlights, we got lowlights.
Yeah. What did you actually get done?
I got some lightness around the front, some face framing.
Yeah.
And some contrast between lightness and darkness was what we were going for. And I feel like Katrina really did a great job. I can actually give you her number
Yes. And do you always go to Katrina? Is it the same person every time, or have you kind of?
Yeah, I feel like we've made an emotional bond, Katrina and I. So I like.
So
to
how long
to
has she been doing your hair for?
This time about a year.
Okay.
And then before that, I kind of went. It was when I was living in Dublin, and then I moved back home, and then I ran away for a couple of months.
Yeah.
So yeah, we've been on and off.
Okay, I know. So do you travel up to Dublin to get your hair done now?
Especially for
Katrina. There's no one local who ever kind of measured up.
Well, no, local people are fabulous too. Yeah. I love everybody.
Oh yeah, backtracking there.
Katrina has that special touch.
Okay, so what delighted you over the weekend, Dyrin?
I used to play full-time in a wedding band,
yeah,
Sean. And what delighted me was I went down to Inchidonny and played with that band again. And it was wonderful. But on the way home, I got to have my ritual chicken and stuffing sandwich. And that was, I'd say, the buzz of the entire occasion.
Okay.
I love nothing more than a good petrol station sandwich.
Okay. And that's frozen solid and been there for the previous 24 hours.
No, these ones are, I swear I've tasted. Ooh. Yeah.
Yeah.
No,
yeah. You're not selling that.
I've tasted them all. And this one is, I'm very particular with where they're placed in the fridge as well. So you have to go to the middle section. You don't take the first row. You go into maybe the second row. That's a more recent date date.
Yeah.
And then as well, the bread will be more moist and the chicken and, you know, mayonnaise stuffing ratio is always better too. So
I'm not with you on this at all. I saw probably scrolling YouTube or something like that, but I saw a video where they showed how a lot of those petrol station sandwiches are made, you know, the production environment, like it's high speed manufacturing. And after seeing it, I've never eaten a petrol station sandwich. Which I'm sure of very, you know, good quality and meet all regulatory requirements. But yeah.
Oh my God, you're dashing my dreams there with one sentence.
So, when you were in the wedding band, then did you see sites where were weddings generally well behaved, or was there a point at which, you know, the ties were around the head kind of thing?
There was ties around the head and every other body part you can imagine.
Not this particular wedding. I mean weddings in general.
Yeah, I mean, you could see anything. It depends on what you would like to discuss, but generally they were
well
behaved. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
But would you know when you turned up, you could kind of smell it already?
Yeah, you'd always know, like, this is going to be a good old night now, or else you could tell, you know, if they were a bit more reserved. But generally, they were good crack.
How often would there be a fight?
There was only one wedding ever where I was like, okay, I might actually die tonight. But that's the only one I can think of.
Of course, if a fight breaks out when the band is playing, you probably feel it's a personal failure on your part, really.
Well, I'm always ready to crowd surf. So I'm hoping, I'm like, yeah, rolling up the sleeves, let's go. Do you know, I'm from Laois, so I'm always down for.
Are there always songs you know will work? Yeah, is it all the ones you'd expect? Is it always Sweet Caroline and that kind of stuff?
Oh, yeah. Or Maniac. And then there's nothing worse when a bride is like, oh, we don't want, you know, Maniac, C'est la vie. Because it's like at 2 o'clock in the morning, that's when those songs are at their prime. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I feel like there's definitely a psychology behind getting people on the dance floor and, you know, judging what songs work best for who.
And did the bride and groom... Is it still a thing where they do a first dance and it's all rehearsed?
Rehearsed by us?
Or not by them, you know, that they've been off, you know, practicing their moves and all that.
Yeah.
Choreographed, you know.
Yeah, sometimes I love when that happens. And generally, of course, I'm making a sweeping statement, but Americans that come over and get married here love to do like a river dance. You know,
they'll
have like a mixtape of Riverdance into C'est la vie, into like all the Irish classics, and then do like a little mashup. It's absolutely precious. I love it.
That's Americans for you. You were at a wedding this weekend.
Yeah, I was. That was what an amazing segue. Yeah. I was at a wedding.
I just make this stuff up.
Yeah. We were playing at it.
The wedding I was at was in Portugal. So it was in Vila Moura. So it was amazing. It was 4 days to get away. And actually, the wedding band there were incredible. But they're Portuguese. But they were banging out Westlife. They were banging out Wagon Wheel. I don't think we had Maniac on that occasion. But it was unreal. But what delighted me about it was... I didn't know many people. It was a friend of Leanne's that was getting married. So I didn't know many people there. But there was an incredible mix of people from Ireland, from all different backgrounds. So some people were in business, some people were in trade, some people were retired. So a huge mix. But nobody gave a damn what anyone did for a living. And it just reminded me that how we connect, because nobody was on their phones. And actually, it only struck me on the wedding day that people actually took out phones to grab a few photos when they were all in their finery. But what really hit me was just the chats around the pool, the chats over breakfast, people reconnecting. Maybe it's the vintage we are that the phones didn't come out, but it was better than any therapy session. 4 days of sun, relaxing, and then some Portuguese-accented Westlife to top it off.
Yeah, and did nobody ask what anybody did for it? Because you might wonder.
Not really. It was more just the funny stories. Like, we're sitting at the table, and the first conversation that I overheard was the two guys sitting beside each other figured out that they both had vasectomies and they'd had it in the same clinic. And they were kind of chatting through the whole process in graphic detail while the starters are coming out, and the crack was just brilliant. So it was just a real reset moment that, yeah, it was people finding those 2 degrees of separation, you know, 6 degrees everywhere else. In Ireland is 2 degrees. We got our vasectomy by the same fella in a clinic on the back of Molesworth Street.
Nothing like a good vasectomy.
Wow. Together. No, there's probably not that many vasectomy clinics.
Is that product placement?
Yeah, on the back of Molesworth Street. I'm sure it's a proper clinic. It's not just some dude who's sitting around there, you know, with a pair of scissors, you know, hoping for the best. So you are moving to Dublin, though, Darren.
Yes. Well, I'm trying to. I don't know if you've heard, but there's actually a housing crisis.
No.
At the moment, yeah. And that seemingly affects the rental market. News to me as well, and possibly to the letting agent that I had a little bit of a misdemeanor with on the phone. And I'm still wondering, was I in the wrong or was she? So I found this fabulous apartment that I wouldn't have to sell a kidney for
mm-hmm.
that I could be in on my own. And also, there was enough room that you wouldn't step out of bed and reach into the fridge and get a shower and be in the bathroom at the same time. So I applied for it. And then the next morning, I rang her straight away and I said, hello, how are you? No answer. She didn't reply. I was like, hello. And then she said, oh, sorry, I couldn't hear you there. And I said, oh, Grant. Then she said, I said, I'm looking at the apartment. She said, did you send an email? I said, yeah, did that. And she was like, okay, well, we'll have a group viewing next week. And I said, oh, but what do you do if you want to like move in straight away? I basically had my bags packed. And she said, oh no, there's a group viewing next week. And I said, oh, but is there anything sooner? She was like, then just the tone, I don't even know what she said, but she changed this tone and it was like vicious and, okay, now dramatic. Vicious is dramatic, but
okay.
She said, there's a group viewing next week. And that's what I said. And I said, there's no need to be so aggressive.
Okay.
Oopsie.
Was that the first apartment you've applied for in Dublin?
I was still excited at that point, obviously. And would you believe I didn't get a viewing for it?
My word, really?
Yes, so strange.
But I mean, I think that probably when they say there's a group viewing, they've probably looked at the first 20 applications max, and out of the hundreds that have come in, and says we're going to give it to those people, but we'll go through this charade of the group viewing.
Yeah,
and inevitably, like it's someone who works in Google. Or one of those things is making a fortune.
It really is vetting, isn't it? Because they ask you for a lot of information. They ask you, sometimes they're asking for bank statements, employers' references, all that kind of stuff. And I think you're right. It's such a seller's market that they can really handpick who they want. So falling out with them on the phone, probably in retrospect, not a great strategy.
But you probably didn't have it anyway, if that's any comfort.
Thank you. That means a lot to me.
So have you applied for any others? This is going to be, I'm really sorry, but this is going to be absolutely heartbreaking for
you. Yeah, I know. And I wasn't prepared for this mentally or emotionally, but I'm trying to keep a good mindset on it. But my friend, the two of us, I was like, no, maybe I'll still get it. And then she was like, I'm going to send... apply for it too. And lo and behold, she got the viewing for the apartment. So something tells me she didn't like
after you'd applied, she said.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
There you are now. My hopes and dreams.
Yeah. But have you applied for any since? How many?
An awful lot. And
you have to kind of be on the website like at 9 o'clock, waiting for the thing to turn, and then new things pop up, and then you're getting your application in as soon as quickly. It's as speedy as that.
It's wild.
And you have to use the word professional.
Yeah.
A lot. They love that.
They do.
Can I cheer you up and tell you that when I moved into my first apartment, it was a two bed and it cost £475 a month. It was 1997.
Really helping my situation.
Putting it out there.
Back in my day, I walked to school with no shoes.
Yeah. With a view of the sea, probably. Yeah. So, what annoyed you, Donal, is dogs.
Dog etiquette.
Or you just got a dog. No.
We did. So, for my sins, I kind of argued against this for a while, but the family were campaigning for a dog. In fact, one of the kids put together a PowerPoint presentation with said dog.
Impressive.
So, gorgeous little cocker spaniel puppy. But the Egypt here was the one that was at 3 a.m. standing out in the lashings of rain in my jammies, trying to coax her to go for a wee. But what annoyed me, or what I've learned since we got the puppy, is how much dog etiquette has changed. Like, because in my day, the dogs kind of roamed the streets and did their business where they did their business, and they came back when they were hungry. And there's a whole new kind of code that's going on now. So I'm learning from Instagram and YouTube how to train the dog, and the dog's learned a few little things. But then I'm getting intensely annoyed because I'm seeing, some other people who have their dogs kind of running wide off leash, who are bigger than my little scaredy puppy. And there's a whole dog etiquette thing that's going on there. You'll have kids coming up because she's cute that want to hug her and put her in a headlock, and the dog is petrified. And then other people want to come up and just pet her without asking and stuff. So I'm trying to figure out all these things. And then the other thing that's mad about it is the diet. Like, I'm not going to mention any brands, but what I knew of dogs in the past was a bit of dry food in the morning and a can of slop in the evening. But our dog is now getting like a delivery of her meals for the month, which are, chicken and veg, broccoli this with a hint of this.
Wow. Like,
and
she's
here's
vegan.
The weirder
it's
part.
Bougie dog delivery
it's
service.
Bougie dog stuff. But the weird thing is I give her a portion of that for her lunch and a portion of that for her dinner. But Leanne doesn't like to feed her cold food, so she puts it in the microwave. So you go into the kitchen in the evening, you're like, oh, what's for dinner? That smells great. And that's Lola's little pre-prepared meal.
That's nice.
But when you're sitting down, when the rest of the family are sitting down to have dinner, what's the begging situation?
We crate trained her early on. So she's got a lovely crate, which is, it's not actually a crate. It's kind of like a piece of furniture. So she's in the sitting room, but no, she's in the crate while we're eating. And she's a great little dog.
And you have to lock her in?
She sleeps in there overnight. She loves it. She'll go in there for a little nap during the day when I've irritated her as well.
So. Yeah.
She could be paying £2,000 a month for that.
We might pop it up on Airbnb.
Yeah.
I'll take it. When can I view it?
Liam Hogan, who works for Hogan Estates, said, tell the lady finding it difficult to rent an apartment to email me at info@HoganEstates.com. I might not have something for her, but I can show her how to get to the top of the queue.
Ooh, I
don't know if he's asking you out or actually giving you some
Either
advice
way,
there.
It's a yes. Win-win.
Okay, yeah. Because I imagine Liam Hogan probably is a, you know, a two bedroom that he's paying 400 quid a month for himself as well, come to think of it.
Darren Hogan has a good ring to it now.
Okay, you won't answer now.
Yeah. And that is why I'm still single.
Now, what you both actually gave very similar answers to what did you learn over the weekend. They were both train related answers. So yeah, you were on a train for the first time in how long?
In about 20 years. And I'm absolutely mind blown. I don't have to move up to Dublin anymore. Éireann Road Éireann has sorted me out. And I can't believe it.
It's Dearin so Road Éireann.
Yeah, Dearin Road Éireann.
Oh, that sounds terrible, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just there's so much room for activity. There's no stress. You can listen to other people's conversations. Mm. You can run up and down the aisles. There's nobody like, you know, getting in the fast lane, driving slowly in the fast lane. It's just the dream. And I've been using it all the time. Came up on it today and I'm like, wow, this is amazing. Public transport.
No, it is fantastic if you're not relying on it. That can be the snag. You've been taken, is it the Dart you've been taken?
No, because we moved out, being a dub, we moved out to County Meath.
Ah, right.
And, you know, because you get a bit more garden for your book out there. But so I just noticed some weird stuff. So it was at the commuter times and I'm sitting on the train and there's a guy, you know, you're in a four seater. So the guy's kind of opposite me, but diagonal, and he's well dressed. He's young, probably mid 20s, little quarter zip top and a nice shirt. A very professional looking guy going home. Yeah, he sounds like, could be an option.
I wonder, was that Liam Hogan?
But, you know, he's there. So he's obviously going home from work and he's got his sports bag. So he likes to go to the gym or he likes a bit of gar or whatever. And what freaked me out is he reached into his sports bag and whipped out a 2 liter plastic container of milk, opened it up and started to lower it back. And between 3 stops, he had finished it off.
Whoa.
Wiped his lips, did a big and I just thought the train is kind of getting weird. So then there was a few things
and
I started.
Into it.
Yeah, you were, and you're running up and down the aisles. But there was a few things like there's other people that, you know, don't use headphones, so they're having full on speakerphone conversations while your man's gulping his milk in his quarter zip, and I'm just going, things are getting weird. And then somebody got on and manspread beside me, so I'm against the window, and he gets on and he's obviously sitting with his legs very far apart, and I'm getting kind of squashed into the window, and I had to say to him at one stage, there's nowhere for me left to go, like I'm as far against the wall as I can go. And then he acted as though I didn't realise. I didn't realise that I was ramming you as hard as I can
against
the wall.
Yeah, it's an odd one, that. I never understood that. Yeah. It's but I assume it's some sort of power thing. You know, look how wide my legs
Dominance.
Can go.
Yeah.
And then I need all this room for my ample manhood kind
my
of thing.
My big feet.
Yeah, you're looking forward to it because they say there's going to be good weather next week, Donal. We'll see.
But well, it's more pleasant today than it was last week.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to it. I said to you, we moved last year. We moved out to County Meath. So I'm looking forward to getting the back garden motoring, getting the barbecue out, a bit of garden furniture. But it's caused a bit of conflict in the house because Leanne's view is that a barbecue has to be charcoal. I've never used a charcoal barbecue. I grew up on gas. You know, you switch it on, you cook, things are done. And the first time I tried to use charcoal, like I didn't get that you have to kind of let the heat build up over a period of time.
Oh, it takes forever. Yeah.
So I was like, I had all these different types of accelerants, and then the burgers tasted like petrol, and it was pretty tricky. And then I was kind of thinking, like, there's nothing that says Irish summer more than standing in the lashings of rain trying to get the charcoal to take. But I don't know, what's your view? Are you charcoal? Are you a gas man?
I'm neither. I don't see the point of eating perfectly good food outside and sharing it with a load of flies. What's the benefit of that? And you come in stinking of either gas and or charcoal. Why? You know, and the charcoal thing, smoke goes everywhere and it can leave marks on the side of your house. No, if you want to eat outdoors, cook it in the kitchen where you know you won't get botulism for it, and then you can bring your plate outside if you want to do that.
I feel like that's very like me Tarzan, you Jane. Like the only time generally you see a man with like a, you know, the flipper thing is like, too, I'll make burgers. Do you want a burger?
I'm making burgers, but I'm not going to clean up afterwards. You're going to see the show bands.
Yes. Yeah. I'm very excited. I'm basically my mom and dad's third wheel now for the last year or so, and it's going really well for all of us. Not in a weird way that we don't want to let that one
Until you move out, of course.
Until Liam gets on to me.
Yeah.
But yeah, I can't wait for it. And I feel like the show bands, mom and dad are always talking about back in the day when, you know, the man and the women used to go to the dance. I feel like it's something that we've lost. So I can't wait to see it on stage. And maybe Liam might come too. We'll see.
You never know.
Yeah.
We could introduce him to a new world.
I'm totally lost here. Is there a show on about the show bands?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm busy that night, sorry.
Yeah. back in the day, Donald.
Back when you could have a two bed for 400 quid a month.
You'd be walking your way around going, dancing. Oh. And get a series of no's. That was love in the old days. Dieran and Donald, thank you both very much.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.
Be among the first to experience Ardent Community's newest luxury apartments in Galloway, Ohio, The Pinnacle and The Reserve at Parkside Village. Enjoy spacious modern floor plans designed for comfort, style, and convenience. Amenities built around your lifestyle, beautiful finishes, thoughtful community spaces, and the perfect location. Move in now and live rent-free for 2 full months. Start fresh in a place that truly feels like home. The Pinnacle and The Reserve at Parkside Village. Call or visit ardentcommunities.com to schedule a tour or check out our rent specials.